Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada 2016, New Vrindavan.
Srila Prabhupada explained the meaning of Vyasa Puja. In that assembly were parents of some of the boys and girls who had recently joined Krishna consciousness. And they were apprehensive seeing their children worshipping the feet of this Indian guru. And Srila Prabhupada explained the principle
so simply and in such a touching way that the hearts of all those parents were completely pacified. And this demonstrates something of the nature of this very important principle of devotional service, which is to honor, respect, and worship the appearance day of those great Nitya Siddhas who descend into this world. And by praising them, we become attracted by their mercy and attached to the dust their lotus feet. Now we may wonder, in our conditioned state, full of anarthas as we are, at least I can say so personally, what right and what ability do we have to glorify the pure devotee, Krishna emissary descended from Goloka Vrindavan? The pure devotee, like the Lord himself and the holy name, in his true form, is self-manifest. That means that with material senses, you cannot apprehend him or understand him. And therefore, once again, we may feel reluctant or reserved in trying to glorify him. And yet, if we do not make the endeavor, the anarthas, the inadequacies, will simply persist. Whereas if we beg for his mercy, and in all humility, show respect, appreciation, surrender, and devotion, and gradually, Krishna reveals the glories of his representative. Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja was celebrated here in the middle of this week-long Bhagavad Dharma discourse. Another first, which New Vrindavan hosted. Srila Prabhupada's first farm community, his first doshama, his first Bhagavad Dharma discourse, all occurred right here in New Vrindavan. And as we've been hearing Srila Prabhupada's prayers, emerging from his heart before the Jaladuta. Why did he leave Varsha? Why did he leave Vrindavan? At an age when most thought it was vowed never to leave Vrindavan, even to go to Mathura. He left Vrindavan to come to the Bowery because it is deep humility, absolute surrender, complete conviction, and pure love, which set, they're like the cornerstones, which set the stage upon which the drama of pure love is displayed in this world. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated all those principles to such a degree that he achieved a feat which most of even the greatest Gaudiya Vaishnava visionaries deemed completely impossible. Mahaprabhu's prediction, Prithivatiyatsiyatanagaradigam, Sarvapachadahadimadigam, was considered by most Gaudiya Vaishnava gurus to be metaphorical, or figurative, or applying to the world as they knew it, which means India. And they told Srila Prabhupada, yes, we believe the holy name will spread to every town and village of the world, because the world is India. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. And he gave Shastric references. He means the whole planet. How will the holy name be accepted in the realms of the Vaishnavas and Yadavas? That was already foretold when third in line in our Guru Parampara, Narada Muni, feeling great compassion for all the souls of this world, is traveling throughout Vaikuntha and up to Goloka, seeking the Lord's blessings to rescue the masses who will be tormented by the upcoming Kali Yuga. And he met with Brahma and Shiva and the Lord himself. And they all gave him various assurances. He was in Goloka that he saw a golden form of the Lord which he had never perceived before. And as he offered his prayers to this Gauranga, and revealed his heart, which was tormented by the compassion of the fallen souls of this world. And the Lord spoke to him that I will appear in the 28th Divya Yuga, Kali, age of Kali, during the reign of Ravi Shakyamuni, and I will personally inaugurate a flood of love of God in which the holy name will spread to every town and village in Bharatvarsha. And in those far off lands, distant realms of Bhumetsas and Yadavas, where fallen souls try to flee to escape that flood of love of God, I will send more Senapati Bhakta, which means the commander in general of my devotees, and he will rescue those masses. And hearing these words from this golden Lord, Narada Muni was very jubilant. It was deemed impossible that what was seen as an Indian religion could be transplanted and take root in inhospitable foreign soil. Srila Prabhupada emphatically culture, of any religion or country, it is the very inherent dharma of the soul. And yet, great realization lies at the heart of the ability to transplant the eternal dharma of the soul and culture it in diverse and antagonistic material circumstances. Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that empowerment such as was never seen before. And we hear in this prayer of Sanjala Dutta, the deep anguish of soul. It's not that the soul is just always blissful. There are varieties of bliss, including the anguish of separation. Now, anguish of separation necessitates the first heaviness of love. In the material world, everyone is suffering anguish, and it's related to separation. But it's not the ecstasy of the soul in which a deeper communion with the Lord is found. Srila Prabhupada was feeling this ecstasy of separation and questioning, why have I left Varadarshan? And he gave the answer, to fulfill the orders of my spiritual master. But I'm feeling such deep separation from my lords, Radha Govinda, Madan Mohan, Sri Gopika. But I'm finding great solace and strength in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which the pastimes of the golden avatar are revealed. And then reaching Boston Harbor and New York, you understand the passionate ignorance of depths that he had never witnessed before. Thinking, how many people can you call me? And as we heard in the prayer, Sankirtan recited, Srila Prabhupada is praying only by your mercy to his Guru Maharaj. Only by your mercy can they understand and take up this process. And when they do, the fires of passion and the anguish of ignorance will evaporate and they'll feel joyful. And when, from all the streams and rivers and lands and oceans, the holy name resounds in every voice, then only is it true Vaishnava's desire to come. He was feeling such deep separation from Vrindavan. And in 1968, when he heard the possibility of buying his disciple to buy land in Appalachia, he immediately mentally moved in and began giving instructions. Live happily off the bounty of nature. Plain living, high thinking, depending on the cow, which is a practical sign, and the other, build seven temples on seven hills. We name the high places Govardhan, and if there are lakes, they are Radhakund and Shyamakund. And he said, if you develop this new Vrindavan, according to my instructions, I'm gonna have to return to India's Vrindavan. And that was the seed of the inspiration to build this community. And as we began the first of the seven temples in 1973, inconsistency confronted the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada is just wandering around the globe over and over again, trying to finish his translation and purports to Srimad Bhagavatam, after which he would go on to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said if he had sufficient time, he would translate the comment on Bhagavad Gita which he had already done. And he wanted to share the commentaries of other acharyas in the Buddha. So we should make a simple, modest country home where Srila Prabhupada can come here, because he was so peaceful. And you could say he fit right into the routine of the Vrindavan when he came in 69, but really, New Vrindavan fit right into the routine of Srila Prabhupada, which was to place Krishna in the center of every thought, word, and deed. And as he watched the devotees working in the field, he asked, how can they work all day and be so happy? And he gave the answer. He said, because they're hypnotized by Krishna. This is samadhi, not like the samadhi of the yogis. They're yogis who are, samadhis, fixed. They're fixed in Krishna. They're so happy to see us. So simultaneous to the first temple, we began building Srila Prabhupada's palace. We didn't have many men, we didn't have any money, but everything eventually made the palace. And when he visited in 74, he circumvented and gave personal instructions how he wanted the palace to be completed. And he thanked the devotees in ways we've never heard him thank devotees before or since. And when challenged by other devotees elsewhere in this time, what are those Vrindavasis doing now? Building a palace? He said, they have understood properly. And then another dichotomy evolved over the years. As the original simple, modest country retreat for Srila Prabhupada transformed into a glorious palace, simultaneously reports are coming that Srila Prabhupada's health is becoming weaker and weaker. And is he showing indications of preparing to go back to Krishna? So what are we doing building a palace for him when he's on the verge of departing this world? But some kind of force kept the devotees inspired. And then the fateful news arrived. He's going back to Goloka. We continued and finished the palace. And then we came to understand what samadhi really means. Complete absorption in Krishna. And when that perfected soul achieves that state of complete absorption in Krishna, his physical remains or any items or even the memories of that great soul, when enshrined in an appropriate structure, becomes his samadhi. And holy places receive a considerable influence of their divine potency from the samadhis which decorate their landscape. And therefore devotees always prefer to live in proximity of such samadhis. He reasons ill and tells the Vaishnavas time when they are living forever in sound, divine sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and their lives consist of spreading the holy word around. Let us worship this appearance there to the Prabhupada, because that will soften the heart and dispel the anarchies and attract Krishna's blessings and awaken pure love of God, which will bring